Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Big hour two here on a Monday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Coming up this hour, we got Step Into My Office. Some people that need a talking to from our own Michael Lombardi. We'll get to the lower part of the NFL after we talked about who might have the most regular season wins in the league in hour one. Who will have the least? Who's going to be the last winless team early on? And of course, plenty of NBA talk here off the top, Michael, which is where I want to begin, because how many people probably just turned the game off last night and went to sleep when they were watching Denver up 20 in the third quarter, only to find out this morning that actually Denver's out of the postseason because of what Minnesota did in the second half?
I think a lot, Stormy, because as you know, with the games on the East Coast, and the game doesn't usually end to 11, and when you're down 20, you feel like, okay, the nice story, Minnesota. You know, Anthony Edwards was fun to watch, not playing particularly well tonight. You know, they have no chance. And then, you know, with that 5-minute mark in the third, things changed. And all of a sudden it gets, you could feel them in the defensive pressure when they put Naz Reid and Carl Anthony Towns on the Joker. Everything changed, and the supporting cast for Denver never showed up, right? Murray played as well as he could play. Wasn't as effective in the early third, or, it got better in the fourth. And then the Joker took a lot of shots just to get his point total going because it was a challenge in there. They were swarming all over him. And look, this Timberwolves team, again, without their best player playing anywhere near his best, was able to win convincingly. It's an impressive win for Minnesota. Make no mistake about it. And give credit to Tim Connelly, who came from Denver. He put that Denver team together, right? He's the guy responsible for drafting the Joker and Murray and all those players. And he goes to Minnesota when Rodriguez bought the team. That was the first person he hired. And, they brought him in there and he makes the Gobert trade. A lot of us, me included, was like, how does this work with Carl Anthony Towns and Gobert? And they've made it work. The Conley piece is really a little bit like we talk a lot about this in football, about having a free safety that gets everybody aligned and settles everything down and allows the players to know what's going on. I think Conley is that guy, because Joker after the game was just praising Conley's play on the court.
The 15-point halftime deficit for the Timberwolves gives them the largest comeback in Game 7 in NBA playoff history. They were down as many as 20 in the third quarter, come all the way back to win straight up in Denver as a 4.5-point dog. Total in the game stays under 201.5, with the final being 98-90. And now they go face the Dallas Mavericks, where they are a -170 favorite. Thought this was interesting, looking at the DraftKings latest betting splits on the series with money already coming in. Would it surprise you to learn, Michael, that with these two teams so close largely in the series odds here, -170 for the Timberwolves, Mavericks +145, that 91% of the handle has come in on Minnesota?
Yeah, I could. Well, it's that instant reaction. And I think to me, you really want to be careful. Max Kleber separated his shoulder in the series, in the Clippers series, and he's been out for a while, and they need him. I mean, he's a veteran player. He's got, he's 6'10", he's long. He gives them another guy to match up, and they need him in there when they play the Thunder. And I think there's rumors, or there's a belief, let's say, that he can come back and play. And I think that's going to be critical if Dallas is to have an opportunity to beat Minnesota. Look, let's make no mistake about it. Dallas is a really good team. They play it since the All-Star break, and since they were able to get P.J. Washington and Gafford on their team, they've been really good defensively. And they have two of the best – I don't think – that Minnesota can play the kind of defense that Oklahoma City Thunder played against Luka. I mean, they were physical. Dort was like, I thought Dort should have fouled out in the first quarter the way he was playing. And Luka's going to, and he got through that. The next series is going to be like a walk in the park for him, because it can't be as difficult as that.
Wolves, a 4-point home favorite game one coming up Wednesday against the Mavs, total 206.5. Sunday marked the first day in NBA history that two road teams won game sevens on the same day. The other, of course, the Indiana Pacers, who set an NBA playoff shooting record, knocking off the Knicks, who we know had plenty of injury issues throughout the back end of the season into the postseason, capped by Jalen Brunson breaking his hand yesterday. They lose 130 to 109 in game seven. Indiana wins straight up as a 3.5 point dog in this one. The total goes over 207.5. But now the Pacers have to face the real test in the Eastern Conference in the Boston Celtics, who are a minus 1,000 favorite in this one. And it is interesting to see in the betting splits, 53% of the handle is on Boston versus 37% of bets. So you see the public probably making a number of small bets, taking the 7-1 on Indiana, whereas the folks out there in sharp bettors that have the big bankroll and don't care what the price is because they're so confident Boston is going to end up walking away the winner in this series, laying minus 1,000.
It's amazing, right? You know, and I thought TG in the last hour made a great point. Like, they've only played, you know, Siakam makes Indiana a completely different team, right? And they've only played Boston once with Siakam. They lost 129 to 124 in Boston. And I think one of the things that you, whatever you want to talk about Indiana, the last two games they've played more physical. They've listened to their coach. You know, he was heartbroken after game five, the way they went into the Garden and laid down, didn't play with any physicality. And when Halliburton's playing with an aggressive style, looking to be an offensive player, just not a distributor, they're a different team. Now, we know they have concerns defensively, right? But I do think, you know, they're going to present problems to Boston, too, now. They're not. It's not like a walk in the park here. So, I mean, will it be six games? I don't know. But I think Boston's going to require being sharp, which they haven't had to be sharp in any of their series, right? They play the Heat without Jimmy Butler. Then they play, you know, Cleveland and Donovan Mitchell, who's giving them trouble. You know, Cleveland wins the game. We're all surprised Cleveland won the games. And, you know, of course, it all fell flat once Mitchell got hurt.
The Celtics have won their previous series in five, so maybe the plus 205 on the series total game could be intriguing, plus 215 for them to win 4-1. Look for the better number there, obviously, which is Boston 4-1. But you can bet the series spread as well if you're into some of those things, even Boston -2.5 games, minus 155. So pick your poison with the way that you want to approach that game there. The Celtics, a minus 150 odds-on favorite. That number is just going to continue to grow to win an NBA title. The Timberwolves, plus 275. The Mavericks 5-1, and the Pacers at that disparity we just talked about in the series, 25-1 to win the title here, despite being in the Eastern Conference final. Okay, last couple minutes, Michael. Let's go back to the NFL. I want to know what's on Michael's mind today as OTAs get underway for 21 teams in the league.
Well, I mean, you know me, Stormy. I mean, the whenever we get this, like, this hype machine that comes out, the Bronny is going to be a one. I mean, the way the worldwide leaders, just all they talk about is Bronny, Bronny, Bronny. You know how that drives me crazy. Put so much pressure on the kid. Is the kid, you know, he wasn't even all conference in high school, right? And now he's not, you know, and he doesn't even make all Big Ten, you know, Pac-12, yeah. Right? And so now all of a sudden he's this great player. It's the same thing with these mini camps and then all, you know, you already cited it already. You know, Bryce Young threw a strike down the field to Adam Thielen. It's all just noise. And as a betting network, I think we have to be really clinical. We have to be really mature and not overreacting. Football is a game of physical contact and physicality. And a lot of guys, and I mean a lot of guys, look great without pads on. A lot of guys, especially quarterbacks, throw the ball unbelievably without pads on. But once they get hit and once their eye level comes down, the game changes dramatically. So all I'm trying to say here is warning everyone to not overreact. Enjoy the fruits of what you're listening to about your favorite team. You know, fall in love with Caleb Williams not having an incomplete and how great Swift looks running out of the backfield. I love it all.
Yeah,
it means nothing.
A ball.
It means absolutely nothing.
A ball didn't touch the ground. Bryce Young threw a 40-yard dime to Adam Thielen. Yeah, like, these are the headlines that we're going to see coming out of these camps. You're going to get rave reviews for teams that we all know and expect are going to be bad. But it's because this is the time, right, where we're all excited about the future and the potential of our teams. But because you mentioned the no contact portion of OTAs, right, what else can you tell people that might not understand the offseason calendar, what phase three means, and then what the next phase is and how it's different?
Well, phase three is basically, you know, you have you can bring the team together and you can have activities, organized team activities, right? And you get 12 of those practices. And so when you practice OTA days, you get 12 or 14, 13, assuming you have them all, assuming you don't violate the, you know, the rules and get two physicals. But phase three allows you to have those kind of practices along with lifting weights and conditioning with the team and classroom time. It really just increases the on the field time that you're allowed to have with the players. And it, you incorporate the young players within the same thing. So now you have your whole team together. So now you don't have to worry about anything other than this is our team and we've got to get these guys better. And for coaches, it gives you a great opportunity to evaluate the players, to understand what they're going to need, to evaluate your own team too, which is really important.
And this kind of stuff, so much more important for young players than it is the veterans. And I think part of like the overreaction that we need to step away from too is when some players aren't present for these voluntary workouts, it's not necessarily the end of the world either.
Yeah. No. I mean, sometimes it's probably pretty good that they're not, you know, and so who cares
right,
if they're
healthy.
Not there.
Don't risk an injury.
Yeah, stay healthy. As long as they're working out and they're come to camp. But look, you know, one of the things you want to do is you want to bond the team together as best you can. What you want to do is get everybody ready for the most important part of the offseason, which is training camp.
Okay, we're going to hit a quick break here. First one of hour two of the Lombardi Line. When we return, step into my office. Tom Thibodeau and Michael Malone headline this week's edition, but there's a handful of individuals who need advice. They need assistance and a potential reality check as well. Also still to come this hour, we'll have VSiN's own Mike Pritchard join the program. We haven't talked to him since the schedule release. Get his thoughts, especially on his former team in the Atlanta Falcons. I'm very curious how he thinks the season sets up for them. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
When you use the promo code Lombardi, we're giving you a steal of a deal here for our VSiN annual subscription, usually $240. Now you can grab a subscription for just $199. If you sign up today, we'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access, less than 50 cents a day. And all you need to do is use that code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you get instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. But again, that promo code Lombardi, you gotta use it.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk when you're step into my office.
And step into my office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Whenever you hear that door crack open, you know some wisdom is about to be on display. Mm-hmm. It's time for some people to step into Michael Lombardi's office, starting with New York Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau, who guided the Knicks to a 50-win season, first time for the franchise since 2012-13. But as it was well documented, this is a team that was plagued by injury throughout the course of the back end of the season and when it mattered most in the playoffs, falling in game 7 of their round 2 series with the Pacers. Thibodeau's gotten a lot of heavy criticism for his coaching style, potentially leading to those injuries of key players during the run. Tibbs is in the office, Michael. Does he need to change for the Knicks to reach their potential moving forward?
You know, one of your dear friends, Tom, Jeff Van Gundy, had a great quote. He says, never take advice from people you wouldn't take criticism from. And all these people telling you how to coach. Can you imagine? Big Daddy hammers nails for a living, builds homes, and he's going to tell you how to coach a team. He's going to tell you how many minutes you should operate. Stephen A. Smith sitting there on his throne telling you what you need to do to coach your team. Never coached a day in his life, ever, ever. Like, and they're going to tell you what's wrong with your team and what you need to do. And what you have to do, and I don't need to remind you because you do it better than anybody, is ignore the hell out of them because they have no clue what they're talking about. Like, they have no clue. They want to win, right? So if you play some of the guys that can't play and they get mad at you because you're playing them, but then if you play the other guys too much and you win, they still have something to complain about. So, like, ignore it. They have no clue. They don't even belong in the conversation. It just clicks and does it. I think the players did a wonderful job of defending you as they said, look, we don't want to come out of the game. We don't want to come out of the game. You know, it's funny. Michael Jordan played 38 minutes all the time. Nobody complained about that. But now Thibodeau's coaching too hard. It's a joke. It's a complete, complete joke. Do the Knicks need a better bench? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I think they'll improve. Without a doubt, they'll improve.
Yeah, they need more depth. But to your point, like, this team obviously loves Tom Thibodeau. And they were fighting to stay in the games in a lot of those instances. And also, it's funny because we think about the way that the league has changed over time. And we have guys who are sitting out for rest days, which is, you know, different in the evolution of the league. But Thibodeau saying, I got my best players here. We're trying to win a basketball game. We're going to play them. So, you know, respect what he has done. The team clearly loves and respects him. And let's leave it at that. Let's go to the NFL, where quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is eligible for a contract extension this offseason, which will reportedly be worth over $50 million coming off of the Jared Goff deal. Despite ongoing negotiations, reports indicate Tua is with the Dolphins for the start of OTAs. How should he approach this offseason amid contract discussions?
Well, I think one thing, Tua, you've done a great job, is the team connects to you. There's no doubt. The team likes you. The teams feel very comfortable with you, you know, and I think the organization knows your strength and weaknesses. And I would just recommend that just because you're the highest paid quarterback in the league, you've got to know, or you're going to become one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. With that money comes the responsibility of winning. And I don't mean beating a bad Denver team in week four or beating the Giants like you did last year or Washington. It really comes with winning the AFC East, with being able to go into Kansas City and win against the defending champions, or go into Philadelphia and win that game. At some point, when you earn this money, you're going to have to beat a good team. And through your career, that has been a challenge. And I think that's really where it's going to be, because right now everybody loves you. But as you're going to find out, once you get paid in any sport, once you become the highest paid of the company, the highest paid in the league, you become a target. Because people don't think you are. I mean, just ask Tobias Harris, right? He got paid all that money. Nobody thinks he's worth it because he couldn't deliver. That's going to happen to you if you don't.
I think, too, how you talked in the first block about not overreacting to OTAs in general. With Tua Tagovailoa being there and showing up, though, how important is that for the team just in terms of continuity for your offense to have your quarterback around and showing those leadership things here and now before the season?
Well, I think he removes, by him being there, he basically tells everybody, look, it's a business. My agent's in charge of handling the deal. Now, he wouldn't be there if he didn't have a contract, right? Let's be clear. Because they picked up this fifth-year option, he doesn't have to be there, but why not be there, right? Why not be there? Because he is under contract. If he wasn't, if he were like T. Higgins, I understand that, right? And so, to me, if you know you're going to play, right? If you know you're playing, because he has a contract, you might as well just show up. Because they're not going to work him that hard. They're not going to work him that hard. And to stay around your teammates and to connect to the new players, whether it's Odell or those guys, it really helps the team and it helps the coaches.
Back to the NBA, following an epic collapse by the defending champion Denver Nuggets in Game 7 last night at home against Minnesota. Head coach Michael Malone was asked post-game, how hard is it to absorb a loss like this, up 20 with the season on the line? Here's what he had to say.
Next question, man. The season's over. That's what's hard. Being up 20. The season's over. You don't understand that. The season's over. It's hard. Stupid-ass questions.
Malone goes from the podium into Michael Lombardi's office. What should his focus be to get the team back to the finals and on the biggest stage next season?
Well, I think the first thing I would tell Mike is take yourself, Michael Malone, is take a step away. Obviously, it's an emotional time. And losing at home and having a 20-point lead, your emotions just run through you. But you and I both know that the decision-making involved with building teams requires no emotion whatsoever. And so I think take a couple days and walk away. After that, it's raw, it hurts, it's painful. You had high expectations, you turn it around from 0-2 to where you get a game at home in game 7, 20-point lead. I get it all, right? It happens to all of us. But what happens isn't the story. The reaction becomes the story. And so you've got to take some time off to clear your head and kind of get yourself where it's not really going to bother you as much, and you can make decisions based on intellect, not based on emotion. And I think that's what you need to do. Look, you can't control the stupid questions that you get asked by reporters. They've never been in the arena. They've never competed at this level. And frankly, they've never had the grief that you had on the stage. So to get mad at them for not understanding where you are, it's just worthless energy that you're giving to them. In fact, you're giving them more to talk about. You got to maintain your poise more, because at that point, they're just trying to rile you. And they did. And so expect more of the same, but step away and evaluate your team correctly.
We talked about Tua Tagovailoa and performing once you've been paid. This time last week, Jared Goff signed a four-year extension worth $212 million, vaulting him to the second highest paid quarterback in the league in terms of average annual value. It's the third big offensive contract handed out this offseason, also taking care of Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown. How should the QB1 in Detroit be approaching this year to live up to his contract and keep he and his teammates hungry, Michael?
Well, I think you don't change one instance. I mean, if you show up 1 minute later than you did before the money, they're going to blame you. If you don't put the same amount of effort in your preparation, everybody's going to focus on the money, right? Let the contract go. Just be Jared Goff. Be there. Do everything that you've always done in the past and rely on your team. Your team's better, right? Your team is improved, and you're going to have to continue to drive the team in a leadership way. But this is a team. This isn't just one individual, and I think you've won a lot of games because of the team. You can continue to win games because of the team. You just have to behave within the confines of what you're comfortable with, which you were before you got a big paycheck. Look, let's face it. You know, before you got this contract, you were a high-paid player. Nothing's really changed for you. You're going to pay Uncle Sam a little bit more taxes, but you got more money than you know what to do with ever. So why not just work as hard as you can?
Hit you with one more quickly. Jason Tatum is in the Eastern Conference Finals for the third straight year, fifth overall in his time with the Celtics, but he's 1-3 in those series so far. What does he need to do to avoid a letdown this postseason, where everybody's saying there's no excuses now for the Celtics not to win at all?
Yeah, I think this is the hardest challenge, because there's a target on your back. You have to win. It's not, and then you got to remind yourself that they're going to say you didn't win by enough. So just focus one game at a time and just win one game at a time. And by the time it's over with, the cumulative effort will show up as you've won. But if you start to put pressure on and you start to try to, which I thought Jalen Brunson was doing a lot yesterday before he got hurt, like it just was becoming a one-on-one game, one-on-five, because the team got behind. You can't do that. You got a good team. Let the team play.
They've played back-to-back series where players were out, injured. This is their first real test against the Pacers. They're still a minus 1,000 favorite, minus 150 to win the NBA title. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, you'll also love VSiN.com, your one-stop shop for all things betting content, best bets from all of our show hosts and guests, betting splits, and exclusive articles, including up right now, VSiN senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel has previews, picks, and predictions up already for the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. We've got daily write-ups in the NHL, MLB, WNBA, and plenty of NFL offseason content. Adam Burke yesterday posted a blueprint for all 18 weeks of Survivor, and our guy Dave Tooley has an early deep dive on the week one schedule. Let's keep that NFL talk rolling here as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Mike Pritchard back in the Monday rotation. VSiN lead NFL analyst joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Former wideout in the league for around a decade, first round pick, college football national champion, who, as I look over your shoulder right now, we're used to seeing the Colorado jersey, but there has been a change from the Atlanta Falcons to the Denver Broncos behind you, my friend. What's happened here? Why are you taking down the Dirty Birds?
Well, the Dirty Birds have gotten more dirty in offseason. I can sum it up that way. But no, I think it's time for a rotation. I rock the Falcons and the Buffs because of primetime, right? There was a connection there. And he helped me overcome that win total last year for the Colorado Buffalo. So I love that. So it's just a little good karma, but this isn't about karma now. I just wanted to change it up. I think I'll have a rotation this year. I'll throw up the Seattle Seahawks, maybe some all-star games I was in as well.
Mike, they just announced today that Colorado sold out every home game for the Buffalo season, which is another great tribute to Deion and his coaching. And then let's shift over to that other jersey, the Broncos, 4.5 on a win total. Am I right with that? I think it's 4.5, right, Stormy? We're talking about 4.5 or 5.5, somewhere in there on Denver's win total. To me, that seems awfully light for a Sean Payton coach team. I don't care that they have Bo Nix or not.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It is light. I mean, I think if you look at the history of the Broncos, too, I mean, they've been in turmoil ever since that Super Bowl of Peyton Manning, Gary Kubiak, and John Elway's all gone, and they got a new ownership now. But, you know, the Broncos, they've been one of those teams that have suffered those losing seasons. Sharp Football had this on Twitter. It was awesome about the number of losing seasons the last 10 years, and the Broncos are at the top almost at 7. So it's more about culture change. I do think they are rebuilding, Michael. And, you know, with Bo Nix and Lombardi and, you know, Sean Payton, what they want to do with that offense, Cortland Sutton holding out, I think, and then retooling the defense, too. I'm not going to be fooled by the fact that they are rebuilding, though. But could they overcome 5.5? I mean, I don't know. That's the wait and see approach for me right there. But we'll see. I mean, Sean Payton, he's got a lot to prove in my eyes because I think he's a great coach. He's a great coach with Drew Brees. But is he a great coach? And I'm eager to find that out this year.
Well, and now to your point about bringing in Bo Nix, he has the guy that he wanted and he took him early in the draft. We'll see how things play out there. And to your point about the 5.5 win total potentially being light, the betting market thinks so as well. -135 to the over on that win total price. Also, to go back to the Dirty Birds and the Atlanta Falcons, who you decidedly take down in a season where they have the highest expectations that they've had in a while to get back to the playoffs for the first time in a long time. When you looked at the schedule release last week, how did you think that things set up for your former team going into this year?
Well, Stormy, I thought they had a chance to go from worst to first last year because they won 7 games. And then last year, they had one of the weakest schedules out there. And it's set up perfectly for them, too, in terms of the dome games they were going to play. They're going to avoid a lot of cold weather games as well. But it cost Arthur Smith his job. It cost the quarterback situation. They never really solidified that. I think Kirk Cousins will solidify it, although the Falcons are going into the regular season or into the offseason, going through the offseason with some question marks, right? I mean, if you look at this roster, they should overachieve big time. I believe so. And in that division, they really have a chance to win a division. But the Falcons find a way to underachieve each and every year. And is Kirk Cousins the difference maker? You know, I think he's a hell of a leader. I think the players will gravitate towards him. He's an elder statesman kind of player, too. And maybe for that youth on that offensive side of the ball, that's going to be helpful. But Raheem Morris, I keep going back there, right? He's a hell of a defensive coordinator with Aaron Donald and, you know, Von Miller and all these guys that went to Super Bowl with. But before that, you know, Raheem Morris, there's a lot of questions there. So I think he's got a lot to prove on top of the fact that they didn't help out Kirk Cousins in that locker room with credibility and it really establishing a certain culture and a certain direction that they want to go in.
Hey, Mike, I want to ask you, you know, when I looked at the schedule, you know, having played in the league, you don't really know who you're playing until the week you play them based on the injury report. But, you know, when I looked over it, I thought, God, it's going to be really hard in Survivor this year. I know New England's probably not going to be very good. Same thing with Carolina. But I know you play contest with your group. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you going to do Survivor? And don't you feel like this is going to be a really hard season based on where the teams are?
I am going to do Survivor. I'm eagerly looking forward to that, to be honest with you. There's outliers, and we know there's outliers each and every year. I mean, a couple of years ago, the Giants come to mind. You know, last year it was Houston. This year, there's a laundry list of teams that could be outliers. I don't know if Chicago's an outlier. What I mean by that, low expectations, and all of a sudden, they surprise people, and you can get on that train and win some money. And I think you could utilize that, too, from a Survivor standpoint. But when you have a large number of potential outliers, I think that's intriguing. I mean, the Colts, like the Titans, you know, the Commanders, the Falcons, we've talked about them, the Raiders. So, you know, these are teams that you're looking at, the Vikings. I mean, these are teams that they could get hot at some point. Injuries We know injuries are going to play a big part in the season. It does each and every year. So I'm looking at those situations, but I'm breaking down divisions right now, Michael and Stormy. Obviously, the AFC North is a tough division. I think the AFC East is going to be down. The AFC West, we'll see what's going to go there. The NFC West could be interesting, too, as well. But right now, I think the toughest division and the strength of schedule kind of plays this out. The AFC North is really going to be difficult to decide that one.
Yeah, particularly difficult schedule laying out for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have all of those division games the back end of the season. But to your point about the NFC West, I know that's something Michael and I have talked about a lot as well. In addition to the 49ers, who are trying to get back to a Super Bowl, you have the Rams, who took a big step back forward last year, making the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks, who should be better than they were last year. The Cardinals getting comfortable with Kyler Murray back and getting comfortable with that coaching staff, could be a better division than we've seen recently. Today also marks the start of OTAs for 21 different teams around the league, Pritch. How important was this offseason time for you, and how different did OTAs look back then compared to now?
Well, OTAs, I mean, I don't know if they really existed.
That's a good you're right.
I mean, they're just like a glorified jogging session a lot of times now. But no, we were in pads. I mean, we were in helmets and shoulder pads, Stormy. We had multiple mini camps. There wasn't a such thing in a CBA as no contact, right? And coaches love to have as many drills as they could. You know, as a rookie, you know, I went to every offseason mini camp going into the year because we knew there was a good chance I could hold out, which I did. But by going through the offseason training and really getting used to the league and to my teammates, that helped me kind of accelerate that learning curve or flatten that learning curve. So OTAs, I think, is so much different now, but guys are around, right? You know, mini camps back when I was playing, guys would take off for a while and then they would show up for the mini camps. But for the most part, guys are around and that continuity really gets established early on. And I think that's what's taking place right now with the OTAs.
Mike, as you go over this, right, and in week one, I mean, is there one game that just jumped out of you in week one that you said, boy, that one's too tight, enticing, I got to make a bet on that one?
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers, I think week one, and I'm not a handicapper, but week one, you know, a chance to get the Steelers at +2.5. And we just talked about that with the Falcons, right? Tomlin, I think coaches make a huge difference. And I thought the draft went well for the Steelers. I think they can do a lot of things offensively, and they're more their nature. They want a game to go into the fourth quarter, right? And they have Russell Wilson. They have Fields to where if that game is in the fourth quarter, maybe they can make enough plays, and they have playmakers too. But I think the Steelers' defense is going to be improved if they can stay healthy, and that's a big part, right? And they're going to need that, certainly with this this schedule that they have. But I thought that was an intriguing line right now, just to catch that right now, if you're interested. In the month of May.
Yeah, and as you look at it, that +2.5 and even money price, which is always nice when you can get a little better than the -110. Total 43 in the game. Pritch, as always, you're awesome. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having
me.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Thank
you. I'm excited to be tracking the jersey rotation now for Pritch. I've got to make sure my eyes are dialed in every week. We talked about it.
You'll get it. Yeah, you'll get it.
We talked about it all last week. Which teams we think will contend for the number one overall pick next year. And yes, there are betting markets that coincide with that. We're looking at which teams to have the fewest regular season wins in the NFL next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champion, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Well, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N. The crown is yours. putting a bow on the show today. Final segment of the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Time for our pro tip of the day. And if it's your first time joining us, we do this every day. Each and every show here at VSiN does as well. You can find all of our pro tips on VSiN.com, searchable by sport and by show. But Michael, a theme of the day today has definitely been OTAs with 21 teams getting underway today and not overreacting to that. So our pro tip, don't fixate on individual practice reports, tweets that we see coming out from journalists that are covering each and every one of these teams. Take that holistic approach to your offseason evaluation. Look at the schedule. Look at the roster turnover. Pay attention to injuries more than anything else, right?
No question. Injuries. And the other thing we have to pay attention to is rehab, right? Who is coming back from the injuries, right? You know, I mean, is Daniel Jones still out there throwing or is he time away? And then, you know, it's like Bill Walsh used to often say, tell me what I don't see. Like, what aren't we seeing? Today, Elliott had a really interesting thing that Bailey Zappe got a lot of reps up at the New England practice. Now, New England's, you know, they're going to do the opposite of Belichick there, right? So, you know, the media was closed, only allowed in a certain amount of time, yada, yada, yada. Now, you know, everybody's happy. We're going to Dairy Queen after the game, you know, all that stuff. So, that today they noticed that Zappe's not taken very – he took all the reps May's not given. Well, there's a reason for that, right? Like, they know people are watching, okay? They know the reporters. And if May goes out there and doesn't look good, it doesn't send a messaging off to the right career, right? So they want to make sure that before they put him out there where the world can see, they know people are watching, that they want to make sure he's fine-tuned into it. It's smart. I'm not saying this is a negative towards New England at all. I think it's really smart, and I think it's something that you have to do.
Yeah, protecting their young quarterback, which is why, as we've talked about, we don't expect him to be the starter day one. They brought in Jacoby Brissett for a reason. There's always teams each and every year we see ruining quarterbacks rather than developing them. So let's see what they can do to grow Drake May and not throw him in there prematurely. Which, though, because of the struggles that New England has had at quarterback, the struggles that New England has had in general the last couple of years, is why, as we look at some of these odds for teams to have the fewest wins in the regular season, the Patriots are right up there with the Carolina Panthers, who were the worst team in the league last year, both plus 450 favorites to have the fewest regular season wins. And because of the way their season starts, plus 750, they're the shortest shot to be the last winless team. You look at the way they opened the year, Michael, at Cincinnati, then against Seattle, at the Jets, at the 49ers, home versus Miami, home versus the Houston Texans, who won a playoff game last year, and then an international game against the Jags, the Jets again. It is a gauntlet, at least on paper. And we know this game is played on grass. Okay. It is different once we get out there, but on paper, it looks really tough for the Patriots out the gates.
Look, I agree. I think it's a hard schedule, and I think it's going to be a rookie coach, a lot of people to manage, 27 coaches on the coaching staff. How's it all going to come together? You know, offensive line question marks, playmaking question marks. It's going to be a challenge for Mayo to get this all together. A first-time coach, really. You know, I know he was working with the defense and all that. Steven Belichick, all the defense. Mayo was there, but he's a young, inexperienced coach, let's be clear. I think it's always challenging in those situations. And look, anytime you're going to put together this list of, okay, who could have the worst record, you always start with the quarterback. I mean, you have to start there, right? And so, you know, even that doesn't solve the problem. Because you remember when Deshaun Watson was on the Texans, they were, what, 4-12 one year? I mean, they couldn't win any games with him at quarterback, and he was lighting it up. So, a lot of it is the quarterback and then the rest of the team, especially if there's bad offensive line play. That can get you every time. I mean, it's one of the reasons why Seattle was unable to win some of those games. Their line was injured most of the year. Same thing with their defense. They couldn't get any stops. So I think you have to be careful just limiting it to quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you look at New England, 4-13 last year. They lost like three games or something like that the back half of the schedule, despite only allowing 13 or fewer points. So, I mean, that's crazy to lose games in that fashion. Their win total this year, 4.5. Juice to the over at minus 160. But I want to go back to the start of the schedule because, again, plus 750 for them to be the last winless team. What do you think their record's going to be after 8 weeks? Just based on what we know about the teams right now, 8 weeks in, so through that Jets game week 8, what do you think their record will be?
Oh, let's see here. You know, I mean, when you look at it, right? I mean, since he's going to be a hard game, they got that Seattle at home. Could they steal one young? I don't know. With a defense that'll be multiple, road games are going to be hard for this team, especially with the offensive line. You know, I think they could be 0-6 when they take that trip over to London. And, you know, when they go over to London to play, I think it's in London, right? They come back and play the Jets the next week at home. They don't get the bye week until week 14. So I think the Jacksonville game's a possibility. The Jets at home, depending on where the Jets are in week 8 of the season's a possibility. Certainly Tennessee's a possibility. But, you know, Chicago, the Rams, Miami, and the Colts, I mean, they're going to be – it's hard. I got to be honest with you. I don't find a lot of wins here, especially playing Buffalo twice. Now, maybe the last Buffalo game won't count, and that could get you over. If you can find 3 wins or 4 wins before week 17, you got a chance to cash it because maybe Buffalo won't need that win.
Yeah, it's a great point. Again, Patriots plus 450, fewest regular season wins, as well as the Carolina Panthers, who, I don't know, Michael, I told you, I'm trying to be optimistic. They spent a lot of money on their offensive line, which was a huge issue for their young quarterback. He's going to be his second year in. Granted, new coaching staff, though, which is always going to be challenging for any young player. How do you view the Panthers this year?
I think they have to be better, right? I think they're going to be better defensively. I just think they're going to be better coached. I think it was unfair that, I mean, they were poorly coached last year, really poorly coached. Offensively, now defensively, they kept Ivoro, which I think will certainly help, you know, because it'll be his second year on the team, on the job. But I think to me, they have to be better, Stormy. They're going to be coordinated offensively, which is something they weren't last year at all. You know, and I think with Canales coming in there, now, do I think they're going to be elite? No, but I think they're going to be better than they were. I think 5's a stretch for them too, right? I mean, look, they play Arizona, Tampa, and Atlanta. Now, they play Tampa and Atlanta on the road at the end of the year. And this is not an easy schedule for them. You know, I know everybody thinks Atlanta has an easy schedule, but look, there's no easy schedule when you're not a great team. I mean, let's be clear, right?
Yeah, no question about it. The Titans also a new coaching staff coming in. They and the Broncos both at plus 650 for fewest regular season wins. The Giants, a team that you and I have talked about, is maybe they too could be in contention for one of the worst teams. They're 10-1. The Commanders 11-1 to have the fewest regular season wins. Any other teams on here you think could be worth a look, Michael, for the fewest wins?
I think the Titans are really worth a look because I don't buy into Levis. And if they're going to be an 11 team and put the burden of responsibility on Levis, which is what they're going to do in the Brian Callahan offense, right? You know, I'm not sure Spears and Pollard are in the running game that can carry them. They want to be a spread team. They want to spread you out. They want to throw. Are they good enough on defense, right? Are they going to be able to play good enough defensively in the front 7 and with their linebacking core? They got a lot of moving parts here for a first-time head coach. I think getting his dad to come in certainly helps him. I think, you know, we've always ignored Arizona, too, here, as if Arizona is, you know, just because they've improved their team. But are we sure Kyler Murray's a good player? Are we sure of that? Have you watched him the last 2 years? I know he only played in 10 games this year, past year, coming off the knee. But are we sure he's a good player? I'm not. You know, I'm not sure that people haven't figured him out. We'll see. And if he plays, he better win more than 4 games what they're paying him, right? I mean, he better win more than 4 for what they're paying him.
No question about it. And I mean, even without Kyler Murray, the front half of last year, they lost a ton of games, but they were chippy. They were scrappy. They got better and won more games when Kyler Murray did step in. So you hope they can carry some of that over and put things together. 17-1 for Arizona to have the fewest regular season wins. And you know what's funny, Michael? I asked you 14-1 for a team to go 17-0 this year. Is that enough? We said no. For a team to go 0-17, for a team to go 0-17, though, Michael, you're getting even worse odds. It's only 10-1. So, I mean, I can't bet either one of those things, unfortunately.
I think the reason for that, Stormy, is because of the laydown in the last weekend. You know, the way the schedule goes, that weekend could be a laydown and somebody's going to grab a win.
It's hard. Like, I understand in the NFL, it's hard to
think
win
about
games.
The Panthers beat the Texans last year.
Exactly.
The Panthers beat the Texans last year. That was their first win.
Exactly, Michael. And that's like, It's yes, it's hard to win every game, but it's really hard to lose every game in the NFL too. At the end of the day, yeah. Like these are still the best at what they do at their craft compared to anybody else in the world. So that's a wrap. Today's Lombardi Line went by too quickly. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Good luck, everybody, with your bets today.